Could you feed your family for a year, 2 years, or more from your garden if you had to? Do you have the right kind of seeds? Can you save your seeds from your harvest to plant next year? Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seed packs are sustainable gardening choice of home, homestead, and professional gardeners throughout North America. Heirloom Organic seed packs are designed with your specific space, light, and nutritional needs in mind. A one-pound selection of 22 seed varieties that can feed two people for a year for just $99. Got a family? The family pack has 27 seed varieties to feed a family of four. There's even a homestead pack that has 31 varieties of seeds to feed eight people for 1 year for under $250. And don't forget, these are organically grown and 100% non-genetically modified. And forget the Terminator gene that prevents you from saving seeds for next year's crop. The heirloom organic seeds can be harvested and saved from each generation to be planted the next year. Just go to our website at feedtofire.com and click on the heirloom ad to access a lifetime of natural nutrition and wholesome eating the way it was meant to be. I'm James Othayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio and creator and host of Feet to the Fire. Have you ever noticed the high volume of commercials on most talk shows? It is to the point that it seems like topics are the bait and the guests are the fillers to sell products. I've made a conscious decision to keep disruptions to a minimum and provide more uninterrupted time for the real reason you've tuned in. You hear guests with more time to make their points, allowing me and listeners to intuitively, intelligently formulate questions by having less interruptions to break the stream of consciousness. Feet to the Fire may be free to listen to, but it's not free to provide. We rely heavily on donations to offset the expenses of producing the show. If you like what we are doing and enjoy the show, why not consider donating via PayPal or a major credit card from our website, feettofire.com. Or write us at Feet to the Fire, P.O. Box 511, Minooka, Illinois, 60447. Thank you.
Contact James live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll free in the United States and Canada at...
Well, tonight's show is new material. It is pre-recorded, therefore the phone lines are not in operation.
Have internet access. Point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose direct chat with James or join the official group chat room. You can send email to James at F2F at innersights.com. That's F2F at INNERSITES.com. There is a video chat room to see James in action as well as other F2F listeners. www.ivisit.com has the free software to download and access the Feet to Fire video chat room. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
All right. Yeah, it's been a few weeks. Yes, it has, but we are back. And we're talking with Lionel Parkinson. Now, before we bring him on, I want to mention a few things. I did a show a while back on gold not being the safe haven it is being portrayed as. In fact, it is a trap as well as the stock market and other things, that it will collapse, and it is planning a planned collapse, and that, in his opinion, the place to put your money is actually in the physical dollar paper money. Now, even though it's fiat, yes, even though it's worthless, technically, it is the legal tender, and it is the worldwide legal tender, And that in the times, all you need to do is look at the world market, and we will get into things like Cyprus, that these other currencies are failing, and the euro isn't all that great either. In fact, the dollar is propping up the euro by loaning it money. But the dollar bill, as I guess you want to say, as worthless as it is in concept on paper, it is the legal tender. So that when things do collapse, and it, I think by looking at the real numbers and not listening to the pundits on the networks, things are heading toward that. When it collapses, your digital money will disappear, your credit cards will disappear. Perhaps they would work, but you'd be building up credit. And your personal savings in your bank will disappear to some degree, from all of it to some of it. And again, we'll get into that. What's remaining is the actual paper money, which is a very, very small percentage of the system. Well, I put that video up, and it had mixed reviews. Many people are really married to the process of gold. They think that it will, it's about 6,000 years it's been used. It'll last another time. And I love the saying that you hear when you go to invest: past performance is not indicative of future gain. And yet, it doesn't apply to gold. It just assumed that gold actually has a real value. It doesn't have a real value. Value of gold has some electronic value in circuit boards, and all the rest of it, it has to do with the emotional picture we lay on it for jewelry, and so forth, and also for holding a monetary value. It is no more fiat than the dollar bill is. It's just that over time, more people have agreed to use the gold and silver, precious metals. We have based a value on it. But when it comes down to it, you can't eat gold. You have to exchange gold for food. And gold is not very fluid. People nowadays you go into a goldsmith, a gold seller, and you can buy gold or sell gold to them. It's harder to sell gold in a system where gold now is needed to be sold into fluid cash. How much money do you think that these gold guys have in their vault that they can pay out you in a time of a crash? They can't go to the bank and pull out money, just like you can't. So whatever they have on hand is going to be what they can give you for that. You go to a store with a $25 gold piece, and legally all they have to do is give you $25 worth of merchandise. And will they be able to handle and understand the exchange of gold for merchandise? Some will, of course, but on a mass scale, when you're talking about especially cities of millions of people, how do you think that infrastructure is going to work backwards? So those are all things to think about. People, you know, some were like, yeah, a lot of them were no. And I wanted to mention about Lionel is that he was been on the show before for his book, The Holy Virus, which I, again, recommend, especially to someone who would be a Christian or who has a negativeness toward Christian based on the kind of the prejudice-murdering past of some of the things. And in there, he meticulously went through the Old Testament and New Testament using his professional ability as a document verifier. That is, if you don't have a signature and you don't have some type of signed witnesses to a document, you just have the document, you have to try and figure out if it's valid by the internal components, how the language they use, words they use, flow, characteristic of perhaps misuse or customized uses of words. All types of other ways people can determine if this person actually wrote it. It's sort of like somebody who was going to copy a painting. They have certain nuances that the artists have, and the ability to exactly duplicate them is going to be difficult, and some will be missed, of course. And the trained observer will be able to find these little nuances. Well, Lionel is such a trained observer. He works as a document verifier, which will be able to read a document, look at other documents written by those individuals, and other principles that they hold, and be able to see continuity or contradictions within the document. Well, taking that technical skill and applying it in his own personal financial life,
he has read through and read behind using his knowledge of the legal system, if you will, used by Babylon, who also had fiat money, who also had all kinds of lawyers' contracts. Actually, it just carried on to what we have today. By using that knowledge that he acquired in the Holy Virus, applying it into the investment system, has seen through the smoke and mirrors and found out what is the plans behind it. He came to me privately and shared for my own personal edification what he found. I persuaded him to come on the air and talk about it. And a little while ago, I put out a YouTube video of an audio interview for the world to have access to. What they do with it is of their, and it's up to them. And in light of Cyprus and other things happening in Europe, which is what Lionel has mentioned we're going to have here. I mean, we can see it there. It's coming here. I asked him if he would come back on again to deal with these current events as we look forward and try to model what the future holds. Timing, of course, is always the question, and to what degree. But I wanted to do this little intro to say that Lionel is some guy that I found at the local bar as we were tipping the elbow here. It was from a different perspective with the Holy Virus, but that same mind has went into this system to expose the flaws behind it, and we'll get into some of that. I've become a believer on that and am working to develop a cash reserve, literally, the physical paper dollars, because when the banks close and they limit your funds, and perhaps confiscate funds, when you have the dollar bills in your hand, the 20s, 30s, you know, in fact, somebody wrote me and asked, you mean only save dollar bills? No, the cash in your hand. Now, is it perfect? No. Can they make you turn into cash for a new system? Yeah, I'm sure. There's all kinds of caveats to it, but given the way the stock market has been used to pull billions of dollars, trillions of dollars out of people's pockets by crashing up and down, up and down, it is Lionel's belief that gold and silver is next, or at least it will happen, and that perhaps one might, especially if you bought low, you might want to sell it and take your cash for a coming crash. With that ado, I will mention we have Lionel Parkinson here, author of The Holy Virus, holyvirus.com. But we're talking about the viral aspects of the bank closing, which should spread around the world. And welcome back to Feet the Fire, Lionel.
Hey, thank you very much. That's quite an introduction.
Yeah, it was long-winded, but I wanted to say that so that people understand that this is something to be really dealt with seriously. I mean, again, you know, people can do whatever they want, and you're not a magic genie. You've not looked toward in the future. Aliens didn't tell you these things. You haven't used a Ouija board or remote viewing. But what you have used is your mind to logically work through these things with a historical legal perspective that I think has value, and I'm very grateful that you are sharing it with us in these interviews.
Yeah, I'll just reiterate some of the qualifications I've had in the past. I used to work about 13 years as a question document examiner hired by legal systems and corporations to determine whether documents were tampered with or forged or just manipulated in any way that they could not see for themselves, and this required me to sometimes have to go into court and testify on particular cases and also do depositions. So I did this a lot in respect with my father, who was also the document examiner for the state of Idaho for about 30 years. So he trained me to do his job, because he could not get anybody else to do it as good as himself. So he always entrusted my abilities to work these cases, even at a very early age. And naturally, I always wanted to be able to better him, so I later began to use that analytical technique on the Bible when I was asked by certain Christian groups that had questions pertaining to parts of the Bible. And this led up to writing the book called The Holy Virus. And my findings found that the Bible was indeed very corrupt in certain sections. And this also allowed me to find the real Jesus and have a much better respect for the true historical man and what he actually accomplished back then, rather than what is being spun through the Roman Babylonian Pharisee systems that we have today. So, but I know we're talking about the banking situation today, and this is, I think, a very important time to talk about it, because when we did that program on gold and silver, that program pretty much is leading up to this one, and I think time is running short for people to make a decision. And I'm glad to do this program because it's not only timely, but we actually are seeing a very important issue being raised, and that is for the first time since the 1930s, back when this country went through a Great Depression and a deflationary depression at that, I've always made the prediction that we would end up going into another great deflationary depression, and that is what I still see today. The very fact that you are seeing for the first time in our generation a repeat of what went back in the 1930s is, again, bank holidays are announced, withdrawal limits on banks are occurring, even though they started at a little place called Cyprus, and a little island next to Greece, with a population of 1.1 million people. This doesn't sound like much of an issue, but I assure you this is probably more important right now to listen to a program like this, to see it unfold right now is scaring a lot of people, especially with bank accounts in the Eurozone that have money above the 100,000 euro accounts, because anything above that right now, the ECB, the European Central Bank, and the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, has now declared war on depositors. They are no longer going to do the bailouts like they were in the past. They are now giving the okay, as these nations are no longer able to finance their expenditures, they are now going to dip into people's accounts. You know, the important information that I can bring on the Cyprus situation is not the media spin that I just mentioned, that accounts above 100,000 euros are going to be confiscated, but any accounts below $100,000 are also confiscated for the very fact that they are putting withdrawal limits. These withdrawal limits are starting in Cyprus at 300 euros per day. This is allowing the Cypriots and the people that live in Cyprus to live on just a minuscule amount of money. And this not only slows commerce down, but all it's actually doing is buying the bank of Cyprus, the mini banks of Cyprus, time, because they really don't have enough money to do normal commerce anymore. Now, when I did math on this withdrawal limits, Cyprus is not in a terrible situation, but they had to put withdrawal limits on all accounts. And when I was figured on 1.1 million people, let's say that just on 100,000 depositors, per day, they can take out 30 million euros per day, and per week, that runs up to 150 million euros per day that they can withdraw, and per month, that's 600 million euros. Well, the bailout added up to about $13 billion. 5.8 billion euros was confiscated on those accounts that were 100,000 euros and above. They have taken the brunt of the confiscation. But when they put withdrawal limits on everybody's accounts, they essentially confiscated everybody's account and only allowed them to just live on a certain amount. You cannot cash checks in their banks anymore. Commerce outside the country is almost totally shut down. The Cyprus stock market, when it initially shut down, it was on March 16th. And it just opened up last Thursday. The bank runs are occurring on the banks. And I figured with the withdrawal limits, they'll use up that $13 billion well within a year. The $13 billion, again, 5.8 was confiscated by the depositors themselves. The rest is supposedly coming from the European Central Bank. This doesn't give Cyprus much time because that $13 billion is just the liquidity given to the banks to keep the doors open. But a real underlying problem is that the banks, not only in Cyprus, but in the Eurozone, are stone cold dead broke. That's the reason why Greece and Portugal and Ireland, Spain, and several others that will be showing up on the radar screen, like Slovenia, will need another bailout. This bailout money is just simply liquidity. The banks themselves are totally insolvent. And in fact, I can state with confidence that every bank in the world is insolvent. The world has been running on simply the liquidity that is fed to them by the IMF, the ECB over in Europe, and the Federal Reserve in this country, which pumps trillions to just keep the doors open. This is the fundamental problem, is that the banks are insolvent, but they don't know how to tell the world that they're now just running on the fumes of liquidity. So how do you tell the people that they're dead broke, that they've run hundreds of trillions of dollars of losses through the derivatives, shadow banking casino, and they now want to socialize all those losses toward the people that are simply trying to work hard every day and make their deposits in a bank which they think is fairly safe and sound? Well, that confidence has been breached in Cyprus, and that confidence has always been held up for many, many decades, since the 1930s. This problem is going to resurface with Greece because they're next door. They run about 50% unemployment there. They depended on some Cyprus cash over there to do commerce with them. Well, that is now shut down. Cyprus cannot get any money out of the country. And these are some of the restrictions. The severe new rules have been imposed to prevent a torrent of money leaving the island and credit institutions, which are collapsing. Again, there are no check cashing. Payments and transfers outside Cyprus via the debit or credit cards are allowed up to 5,000 euros per person per month. Transactions of 5,000 or 200,000 euros will be reviewed by a specially established committee, with applications for those over 200,000 euros needing individual approval. Meaning, if you're still rich over there and you're trying to move money, you got to get bank approval, of which, of course, they won't approve.
They'll approve it for the insiders to some degree.
Yeah, and a lot of the media spin prior to this is that the money that was in Cyprus was nothing more than the Russian mob and human trafficking. They wanted to make it look like bad people were losing their money, when in fact the Russians had of this and got their money out prior to this collapse over there. They got their money out in February. The unprecedented restrictions represent a profound breach of an important principle of the European Union. Now that that is gone, the ECB and IMF has said, listen, we can now just start taking people's money out of their accounts and use that as bailout. So in the past, when they applied austerity programs on these countries, they were taking away their future potential of deposits. Now they're taking their present-day deposits and applying that toward the bank losses that never seem to show up and never seem in the light of day, because if they ever showed the true losses on their balance sheets that these banks have, everybody would want to pull their money out of the banks because they are insolvent. And this bailout money is simply the liquidity that is keeping the doors open. As far as the banks are concerned, they have the okay only because they are committing accounting fraud. That's the only reason why their banks are open today. If they released their balance sheets, they would be closed.
Let me interject for 1 second. I remember where you're at, so as you go on, I don't want to derail you. But what you are saying applies to the person listening who has money in the bank, that that person should not trust the digital money, because once you put it in a bank, it's no longer cash, it's a digital money, and that at some point they can restrict it, like you're talking about in Cyprus, or actually confiscate parts, some or part of it. So the people who are trusting the banking system at this point, listening to this show, who has never heard us before, are probably, shocked and, amazed or whatever. And you're not talking about it on the news, and for obvious reasons, because, of course, the news is part of the system, and the system doesn't want everybody running to the bank, and because it would obviously completely bust the entire system in minutes. It'd be, they'd have to close the doors because there would be nothing to give you. Literally, physically, they would run out of paper money. And that brings me back to one of my opening points, is people will say to you, well, what about someone who has put their money in precious metals? And I'm not talking about having a certificate, because, again, when you go to redeem your certificate, same deal. Everything, unless it's in your hand, it's not yours. I mean, at this point, you have to remember that stocks, bonds, certificates, all those things aren't real in your hand. They're notes that you turn in to get something, some type of purveyor of value, and they'll be called in. So if people have money in the bank, they should withdraw that money as soon as possible, because at some point it'll be cut off. But what about the person who says, well, I have my value stored in gold, which is in my hand, and when the bank does these type of things? And also, I wanted to mention that what you're talking about is when you restrict money from the bank, it does not cause inflation, but actually deflation, because there's less money to go around. Therefore, people have to drop the prices to coerce you to get your money, because they have more stuff, unless they have accept credit, which is going to be very dubious. So you could address the misnomer of inflation as being scared and why you should buy gold versus the deflation of a lack of physical paper, which would come from these bank holidays.
Right. When I used to follow the gold and silver back in the late 70s and 80s, I got to see it when I was very, very young. I saw how gold and silver shot up. For instance, on January 8th, gold got as high as $850. And silver got up to about $52 an ounce. And then what happened, Paul Volcker, and there was some certain laws they had changed that reversed these markets. But not to go back that far, what we've had since then is a completely different scenario. gold and silver, I've always liked as an investment, but at these prices, it is a what I call a trap. And what is happening is people are being inundated through television and radio programs to buy gold and silver because they are told that the central banks are printing more and more money, and they're looking at the national debt, which is $17 trillion, and you're seeing that the Federal Reserve is pumping $1 trillion of extra money into the stock market or toward the banks, which is bailout money to hide their losses. And you have a government that will not plan a budget and reduce the spending, so they spend well over $1 trillion to keep this economy going. So you've got $2 trillion that is pushing into this economy called the United States of America, and it's only creating maybe $300 billion of growth. This is not working, and they know it's not working, but it keeps the game going until the whole financial thing comes down. But just getting back to gold and silver, it is a trap because at the prices that it is right now, presently gold at $1,600 an ounce, silver at about $2,029, you're going to see the price of gold actually plummet way down to where it was back in the 1930s, which is literally below $50 an ounce.
That's one plummet.
Well, the reason is because of this banking crisis that is just now starting. As it grows, and it'll hit in Europe, it'll spill over here. Nobody will get access to their money. Therefore, trade stops, commerce stops. The price of everything comes down. In a deflationary depression, the prices of everything really comes down because people can't get access to their money to push price, inflate everything back up again. So as these banks are now trying to apply deflationary techniques like they did back in the 1930s, this catches a whole world of societies that have been living in the last 40 years in an inflationary world. They don't know how to flick the switch in their mind and start believing in a deflationary world. And this is going to catch a lot of people off guard, especially if they leave their money in the banks. My advice is very similar to Jim Rogers, who just literally came out and said it's time to run to the hills and pull your money out of the banks because according to the ECB and IMF, it's perfectly okay now for banks to confiscate people's deposits. It won't be too long before they, in Italy and Spain and France, every time these countries will need a bailout, and we're talking about not hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars. Now you've got the ECB saying, well, the only way we can bail them out now is to steal the money from the depositors. Well, there's not enough money to bail out. This whole thing kind of collapses and it spills over to our banks. And this is the way I see it. It all starts small, much like it started small back in the so-called 5 years ago when we had this only a $20 billion subprime problem, they claimed. It turned out to be a situation where they had to pump tens of trillions of dollars to keep this whole fiasco thing going. So,
let me also interject here. I was looking at Jim Rogers. One of the videos he put out says, for example, a quote here, and of course this is quoted underneath it. I'm not watching the video. I'm listening to you. But Jim Rogers says, no people currency will be worth anything. Now, can you differentiate between a phrase like that versus the actual physical paper dollar? I mean, when he's saying that, is he meaning that the dollar in any form will be worthless, or is it referring to the lack of dollars which in essence would drive the value up. You see, I think this is what people are having a hard time coming to grips on, is that the dollar itself, with all the banks closing, people will agree, with the losing your savings, people agree, and a lot of people are going to gold and silver to keep value when the paper fails. But as I'm looking at gold right now, in the last 6 months, it's down $176, which is almost 10% value. And if you go back further, you know, there was a peak that brought up. So it's, in 5 years, it's still 71% higher. But in 1 year, you know, it's down almost 4%. So in the last 6 months, the year to 6 months, it made this peak. And now it's riding down. And there's little peaks and valleys, but the overall trend, if you pull back and look at it, is it's going down. So it would seem that if the dollar is in trouble, that the gold should go up, but in reality, it's going down.
Yeah, the same thing applies to the oil commodity charts, gold and silver, stock market. All of these markets went up because of this extra money that is being shot into the banks. The banks, in turn, they can't really afford to loan it out to people that are not capable of ever paying back the banks that money. So banks are actually cannot make any money by loaning it out. So what they do is they gamble it. And a lot of them end up losing that money, and they have to be replenished by the Fed again. But I'll cover what inflation really is, so maybe if I describe it, it'll clear things up, because in a deflationary deflation, the dollar will, being the world reserve currency, it actually becomes the most valuable thing, most commodity in the world. Like in the 1930s, if you would have asked anybody to live back then, the price of everything was way down. Problem is, nobody had any money to pay for things. That's what they'll tell you. In an inflationary scenario, people have plenty of money, but the price of everything goes up because it keeps on being pushed. It keeps on pushing the prices up. Well, in our society right now, everything is done by leverage, almost at a 20-to-1 ratio. For every dollar that is invested in the stock market, an extra 20 being leveraged to push the price of stocks, gold, silver, oil up. So this is what's really happening. So when you pull this money out of, let's say that people start pulling their money out of the banks, that leverage behind that money is also being pulled out. Good example is that anyone who claims the U.S. faces hyperinflation simply doesn't understand how money creation works in our money, in our modern economy. Governments no longer print money, except the insignificant fraction used in daily cash transaction, it doesn't really create money anymore. Banks do it. All government can do is try to stimulate the banks into creating more money. So money is created when banks loan out their free reserves. Reserves are money above and beyond the bank's capital requirement. Now here's how it really works. Say a bank has $1 million in free reserves, and they get that $1 million from the Federal Reserve. That bank loans that $1 million out to, let's say, John. It must set aside 6% or $60,000 as its reserve requirement. Then it books the $1 million loan as an asset minus the $60,000. That means it has $940,000 more to loan out again. So the bank loans out that $940,000 minus the 6% reserve requirement, which is $56,400. It books the $883,600 loan as an asset. It then loans that $883,000 minus 6%. The bank keeps repeating this process, loaning out ever smaller amounts of money until it has nothing left of that $1 million in free reserves. All told, these loans come to over $16 million. So that bank has taken $1 million and has loaned out to various different people $16 million, even though they only had $1 million in reserves. That is the old school of hyperinflation. As that money went out in the economy, it created a lot of jobs in building homes, and that money got circulated and started pushing wages up and prices up, and people would start investing in the stock market. Now what's happening today is the banks really don't loan out the money like that, because the interest rates are so low they can't make any money off that money so much. So they gamble that $1 million with high leverage into commodities such as gold, silver, oil, and currencies. And this is where they got in trouble and lost close to $500 trillion. And that's why these banks don't want to show their losses, because they would have to close their doors. This is what happened from 1985 to 2007. So we're not really in hyperinflation. We're in massive deflation. But nobody knows how to look at this for what it really is. So when the next time we go down, this thing will stay down, because the bailouts are no longer going to come from the Federal Reserve or the ECB or the IMF. They're going to cannibalize the money from people's deposits, and that's why this whole Cyprus situation is starting to scare rich people around the world, because they now know that their leveraged money in the banks is now up for grabs. And that's why I believe that the world is now going into a massive run on the banks. It will be quiet, but eventually you're going to start seeing it and hearing about it in other countries. Argentina, for instance, is experiencing the same thing that Cyprus is going through. The Argentinians are ending this summer right now. If you need to buy U.S. dollars to travel outside Argentina, you need to use the online internet system and enter your taxpayer ID number. According to a guy that works for Wells Fargo, his name is Alleman, the government is running out of money to finance its expenditures. People are scared. People think the government will appropriate savings or raise taxes. Individuals are trying to get dollars. The expectation is that the government will give up, and instead of trying to keep the peso at 5-1 per dollar, they will say the market is right. And that is what a large devaluation will do. And they'll naturally devaluate their currency over there to the dollar.
What I want to mention is, let me ask you this. I'm trying to put it in analogs. Because when you're talking about something that is out of one's paradigm to understand, because it's a foreign concept, especially we've been brainwashed with hyperinflation, and what about Germany and all that? In fact, I heard a show with Webster Tarpley mention that it wasn't hyperinflation that really hit Germany, it was the deflation that happened after it. But give me an example. If we were in a deflation, what would happen is all our salaries would be rising. So that, I remember that the cost of living raises, et cetera, et cetera. But if you do I just did this the other day, to my chagrin, was I went back to 10 years ago, where I was working and what I made versus, and using their inflation calculator, they say, what I would be making today. And I am about 30% underneath that. And everyone around me is linking less and less, and there's less and less and less more money to go around. Now, isn't that in essence, the opposite of inflation, which would mean there would be more money. There'd be higher prices, but more money as well, because that's why there's higher prices. But because we're having and actually have less money, the prices are rising, but they're trying to do everything they can to not raise the prices because no one has money to buy the products. So isn't that kind of a way of looking at we're in a deflational setup?
Well, yeah, in the true definition of deflation, the money is simply not out there for people to work for it. It's, you know, and looking in history in this country, when they applied the leverage back in the late 1920s, they were allowed to buy stocks on margin. In other words, they were able to spend money they didn't have on stocks. Well, they bidded those prices to the point where they couldn't bid any higher, and it all kind of collapsed in October 1929. Well, the economy didn't feel the deflation for another 4 years, but the money was disappearing. It was lost, and people couldn't get access to it. So the price of everything came down. People were trying to sell whatever they could, but when they did, they found that they couldn't get, put pennies on the dollar. So this is what's happening today, only with a little different twist. Now you have Ben Bernanke trying to slow down that deflation by injecting more leverage from the Federal Reserve right to the banks, where the banks can use their hedge funds and their secret investment outlets like Goldman Sachs, and they can use that money to manipulate and create more bubbles to give the impression that inflation is still around, when in fact it really isn't. They're just using gimmicks to slow down the deflationary collapse. The money is already gone out of the banks. The world is just running on this bailout liquidity. And that's the way I see it.
I mean, what about the argument that during this lack of cash, a lack of liquidity, they're going to print more money? Now, wouldn't that, by definition, fuel and inflation as opposed to deflation? Or can they not print it fast enough, so therefore there will never be too much money, there always would be too little money, and therefore deflation?
Well, they've tried that. That's what they're still trying that, but it's still deflating. That's the whole point of government overspending an extra $1 trillion every year, and the Federal Reserve trying to inject another $1 trillion toward the banks so they can keep their doors open. But the massive losses that are on the balance sheets of these books of the banks are so huge that there is not enough money that they can create. They certainly can't print it because of the...
Okay, let me stop here. I think I'm having a little help here in my mind. Let's say Bank A has a net value of minus $10 million because they've lost money. If you actually look at their books, they're minus $10 million. So how can they possibly give anybody money when they come to the bank? Thus, you get this infusion of the $85 billion or whatever a month to give them cash to use. Now, the result of that is they're now $10 million and whatever they got this month in debt, but they had some cash, actually cash, to move around. Because remember, when you have put money in a bank...
Well, tonight's show is new material. It is pre-recorded, therefore the phone lines are not in operation.
When you want it out, they have to come up and reach in and pull out this cash. Well, they don't have cash reserves, as we talked earlier. You mentioned earlier, there's no cash reserves. There's all negative. All banks are all negative, if they were honest about it. And so this $85 billion per month has been allowing people to actually be able to go get cash out of a bank. And so it also has an effect of running it backwards. So if what I could see on this is that the more money they're creating into the system is creating it deeper in debt, and therefore that dollar bills are becoming will become more and more scarce and thus valuable. Am I getting it right?
Yeah, to a large extent.
Correct me in any way, because I want to make sure I have this completely understood, right?
Yeah, the physical printed money is, in my opinion, what a person needs to hold on with their own hands and not put it in the banks. But just let me just kind of go back over your figures with the bank. Let's say that they are $10 million in the minus column, okay? That makes them insolvent. The Federal Reserve will come in and give them maybe $1 million to keep the doors open because they will not pay the full debt amount for the banks because in reality, the banks are well over $500 trillion in the loss column. So, but just to kind of reduce these figures down so we can kind of get a better idea of what's going on with these banks, I'll reduce the banks down to, let's say that they're only $10 million in the minus. They're insolvent at this point. The Fed will give them maybe $1 million to keep the doors open so that they can loan out some of the money, allow some of it to be withdrawn as people need the physical cash if they need it. But the other section of this money is still being gambled by the banks because they cannot make any profit by loaning it out to an economy that is actually slowly crashing. So instead of loaning it out to people buying homes and cars, and what they're actually doing is exacerbating and making the situation even worse, they're gambling in the commodities markets, the currency markets, and they're losing their even that $1 million of free reserves that they get from the Fed, okay? So they're creating other bubbles, and when these bubbles pop and they lose those reserves, the Federal Reserve and the ECB and the IMF are now saying to these nations, we're not going to back you up anymore. You're going to have to get the money from the depositors. You see how not only are they insolvent, but now they're going to be illiquid, and they're not going to get the bailouts like they used to in the past. And that's how this whole financial system can deflate really quickly, and the price of everything comes down, such as gold, silver, oil. We could see oil down to $5 a barrel in the kind of scenario that I'm describing here. The price of silver back to $2 an ounce. Gold well below $100 an ounce. The money is actually being sucked out of these economies through austerity and now through all-out theft on depositors. That's why the Cyprus situation is very, very interesting because for the first time in probably 80 years, this has not been seen. And this will spill over, I believe, in the European Union very quickly. As people get scared, they start pulling out their money. And, yeah, in Cyprus, they can't pull out their money right away. They can only do it with withdrawal limits. But in Spain and Italy and in France, no doubt the rich people around the world are saying, I can't trust these banks anymore. I got to get my money out. And that's exactly what they're doing. Yeah, media has not covered this.
There's two things about this is that when people say, well, you know, why you pull money out of the bank? Well, you're getting almost nothing for you're getting 1.2% or whatever, 1.3% I think my bank gives me for savings. So you're leaving the bank in there, money in the bank for getting 1% per year interest versus but the risk of losing it part or all of it. is on the other side. So if you want to actually come up with a fair amount of risk, the bank should be paying you like, you know, 15% to keep it in, or 20%, because you're going to lose it. You know, it's like, it's almost like a, the risk is the opposite of the interest is opposite the risk. So, but I think your case is clear for all the closings and people to pull their money out. I think that's pretty simple to look at. And I think that what people can use to try and see that the gold is yet another way that people will suck money away is by watching the gold go down versus, well, that should mean prices go up, but they don't. I mean, there is inflation to a degree, but I'm noticing when I go to the store, for example, that the companies who are selling you the food are trying to make more because they're hurting for money. But they can't raise the price because people are having a hard time affording it as is. So what they're doing is lowering the amount in the box. I mean, if you ever look at a cereal box now, it's a joke. It's about an inch and a half wide, and yet the height and the width look the same. It's almost like it's going to fall over because it's so skinny. They're trying to give the illusion of buying the same box of cereal front on, but the price is and staying the same, or sometimes even going down. Prices are going down in some cases, and yet the amount is going down because they're trying to make more money. And if you look around the whole world, everyone is trying to make more money with less. There's less people working to do the same job. You know, and to me, that seems to go along with this whole idea of a shrinking economy and a deflation rather than a booming economy and inflation. If you use the word inflation by being too much money in the economy being created, too much money is being created and there's no reason for it, or there's too much money being created and therefore the items go up in price. Am I saying it right, or am I still...
I know this is a very confusing situation, but just to simplify it, I believe people should just do this. Don't stop chasing yield. It's obvious that the Federal Reserve is trying to suck people into the stock market, and this way they can steal their money legally by betting on a market going down. They just change their positions through short positions, and they can steal it through the indexes very easily that way. This has been done in the past. 9/11 was a good case that $8 trillion dissipated out of the stock market, yet they didn't want to release any names of those that took the money from the... all those 401ks that were highly invested in the stock market back then. But the important thing is don't chase yield and don't get sucked into these markets, because when they reverse themselves this time, there will be no bailout money to push the prices back up again, and they'll be caught with a 90% loss instead. Pull your money out of the banks in physical cash and just hold it that way. You cannot trust bankers now. You certainly can't trust the politicians. They've breached their relationship with their depositors, and this thing will spill over, and it could go really quickly from here, because now you have a lot of people around the world scared. And I know that statistically, prior to the Cyprus incident, 8% of the people in this country have pulled their money out of the banks already. Now with the Cyprus situation, I'm sure that will at least double, if not triple. And if you start getting the people in America pulling their money out in physical cash and just holding on to it, you could see that $85 billion that Ben Bernanke has been injecting toward the banks start getting sucked out. Now they have to either increase the amount or just give up. And this is what I suspect is going to happen. There is a silent run on the banks going on in this country and in, over in Europe as we speak. And this will exacerbate the financial deflationary collapse that much quicker. And this is what I was trying to allude to in the gold and silver interview that we did back in October.
Mm-hmm.
This is that incident that I was talking about back then. I was talking about withdrawal limits, and this is going to come home to this country eventually. It's hard to time out when it actually occurs, but there's not going to be much more media spin talking about a massive meltdown and a run on banks around the world. This is going to be very quiet now, and there will be no more warnings for people in this country any more than there was for people in Cyprus. It caught them off guard. The Russians got their money out in time, the months ahead of time. So somebody told them ahead of time, you've got to get out. And they did. So that's the way I look at it. Get my best advice toward people that are listening to this program is get hard physical cash out of your accounts as fast as possible, because there's not going to be much more warnings when this thing comes down, and it will come down very fast.
Now, I wanted to mention the idea of the stocks, about the bank runs affecting the stocks. There's two articles that I came up with to bring up here. I'm not familiar with this columnist. It's Costoryryz. I don't even know how to say that. Sounds like it looks like a code. Costoryryz. Anyway, it says they're prepared now for major bank runs in Europe, and it says the most people don't comprehend the significance of the new bank bail-in model of the bank restructuring of Europe. Major bank runs are a serious threat. Therefore, you should, this is the point, therefore you should have your trigger finger ready to sell the stocks. Obviously, that means European stocks and so forth, but it also includes U.S. stocks, such as the S&P 500 and Dow Jones Industrial Average and so forth, that when the turmoil starts, the stocks will start to sell trigger-wise, especially if you have a programming built in. That whole programming thing almost should be illegal, because when you hit a certain level, the program trading comes in, and all of a sudden you're dumping huge portions of the stock market in for selling, thus driving the price down. So you have this article. This other article, which I found interesting, billionaires are dumping stocks, and economists know why. This is from Newsmax, and it was from February 6th. So this is an older article. It says, despite the stock market rally over the last 3 months, a handful of billionaires are quietly dumping their American stocks, and fast. Warren Buffett, who has been a cheerleader for American or U.S. stocks for quite some time, is dumping shares at an alarming rate. His recently complained of disappointing performance in dyed-in-the-wool American companies like Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, and Kraft Foods. I'm trying to breeze through this to give numbers. He's been reducing his exposure to stocks depending upon consumer purchasing habits. Buffett has lack of faith. Buffett, and also John Paulson is another person who is dumping. They dumped 14 million shares of Chase, dumped his entire position on Family Dollar and Sara Lee. And also billionaire George Soros recently sold all his bank stocks, including shares of J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs. Between these three banks, Soros sold over 1 million shares. And this is what they're saying, is that here's a line. This, of course, goes along with what you're saying. It is very likely that these professional investors are aware of specific research that points toward a massive market correction as much as 90%. That's quite massive, 90%. So,
yeah. The reason why it's 90% is because the leverage that's in the stock market and in the gold market and the silver market and the oil market is always 10 to 1. if you had to pull that leverage out right now, the stock market would be exactly 90% less than the price it is right now. And I think the stock market is, what, 14,500. Well, if you took the leverage out, the real price of the Dow without a crash would be $1,450 on the Dow. You know, that's what the real price of the Dow is actually worth. If the SEC would have kept the law that was enforced back in the 1930s that you could not buy stocks on margin or use derivatives. Remember, derivatives came back online in 1985, and that's when you start seeing the stock market doing its moonshot, you know, over the years. So when this thing collapses, that leverage collapses along with it. All the deleveraging of the leverage that's been applied since 1985. And that's why I know that the price of gold and silver and oil will all come down with this, along with the stock market. So that's why this is a very bad situation for people. They've got to get their money out. I'm talking about the hardworking guy out here that's trusting the banks, trusting their political parties to keep the game going. I'm saying, no, you better get your money out of the banks, because in the future, you're only going to be able to measure your wealth by how much you can physically get your hands on. This digital money has been lost and stolen. It was lost and stolen 6 years ago. The banks are only operating on liquidity bailout money. It is not operating. Their losses are being socialized toward everybody else. The small investor, the depositor out here, can only now survive if they pull their money out physically. And that's the best I can best advice I can give to somebody that's listening to this program.
And what I could add to it, if anything, is that I'm looking at it from a pragmatic standpoint, a logistical standpoint. If you are holding gold, and you are going to now try to buy products with gold, you are banking on the individuals who are selling the products. Now, just picture, walk in any food store. You're going to walk in a Walmart, all right? You're going to walk in Walmart with gold and expect to haggle with the cashiers to get the dollar value of it. You're assuming Walmart is going to be able to want to compensate. Okay, we want to deal with people who have gold, so we're going to restructure our sales price. And all our computer software and all the people who are trained there, actually, they're not even trained. If you have been to a Walmart, you're pretty much in the bottom of the barrel a lot of times of people in their ability to be a in the marketing. You're going to expect them to retool the system on a day, you know, on a flash notice to be able to handle the gold infrastructure as a money. It's very unrealistic. And if you're looking at the people who are selling gold to be able to now be able to deal with cash, which these institutions are already set up to handle, they may turn off the credit card or turn off your debit card. However, they still take cash. So you go to your gold dealer to want cash. Well, how much cash is he going to have online?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
So there's a practical idea of using a non legal tender and exchanging that. You might as well walk into Walmart with a euro. You know, you're talking about, we're not made to transact on this type of thing. And since most people and most market systems are made for the American dollar, be it a digital version or a cash version, what is going to be easy to use to buy things during this time would be a dollar bill. I mean, this is what the lights went on in my mind. It's not even relying on the 6,000-year history of gold. It's just the infrastructure is not set up to use gold as a... Now, people might say, well, you know, entrepreneurs will pop up along the way. Well, how are they going to get milk to sell me? You know, they're going to have to somehow have an infrastructure to go into a farmer to be able to convince him to take gold, take their milk in a timely fashion. You know what I'm saying? The infrastructure is not there for it.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that these other high-profile investor names are pulling out of the stock market. That should tell people right then that it's time to make a move. If they do have stocks, they should get out with a with these other guys that, that know and understand the tops of markets. And Jim Rogers is one of those guys that has taken it a step further. He's saying not only get out of the stock market, but get out of the banks, because those are no more safe, and I agree with him. The banks are tied to this whole stock market fiasco. So,
what about the pundit who's listening now on MSNBC to this interview? I doubt that, but just in case, he's going to go, yeah, Lionel, what you're indicating is if people listen to you, we would have go into a absolute worldwide collapse beyond never seen before in history if they listen to you. How would you respond to that?
Well, those that get their money out in cash will survive with the wealth that they work for. Those that can't get their money out, it's going to happen anyway. And the whole reason why it didn't happen 5 years ago is because they bought this much time with the bailout money that they got on TV and told that we have to do this, we have to take money and use TARP, and the Federal Reserve had to secretly pump tens of trillions of dollars toward the banks, not only over here but also over in Europe to keep things going. But they're saying they're not going to do that anymore secretly, and they're trying to figure out a way to back out of the quantitative easing that they're doing, but every time they even talk about it, the stock market comes down. So they know they can't really back out. So this whole scenario is going to happen anyway. So
yeah,
that's why guys like Jim Rogers is saying, I'm running for the hills, I'm pulling out, I'm getting my money out. I'm saying to the small guy who will never get the opportunity to get these warnings ahead of time like the rich people, or like the Russians that got their money out of Cyprus in time. The time is now, while your bank is not hitting you with withdrawal limits that are not confiscating your whole bank account right now. The time is now to get out of the banks, because you're not earning any interest on your money anyway, which is deflationary, I should also mention. But you want to be ahead of the herd, because the herd is going to go over that cliff. And in essence, 5 years ago, the herd already went over the cliff.
They just haven't hit bottom yet. They haven't hit bottom yet. They're still...
Yeah.
It reminds me of a story where I saw in a movie, I think it was Magnificent Seven, where the guy says, yeah, this guy jumped off a 10-story building, and they heard, each time he went past the floor, they heard him say, so far, so good.
I should also mention that the banks should just fail. If they failed, they could reset and they could start all over again. Yes, people would get wiped out, but at least you can start over again. The way they plan it now is they've insidiously have socialized their losses onto the masses, and that's why they're cannibalizing they're starting to cannibalize their deposits. And the bankers don't care about the people, and it's time the people stop protesting, stop waving their signs, because that ain't going to work. The bankers could care less. The only way you can get back at a banker is to pull your money out of the bank. That's the only recourse you have, and that's why I'm trying to tell people in business meetings. They know, and they have no problems listening to me. They know exactly how much I know about the situation, and that's exactly what they're doing. I'm just telling people through a program like this, you got to do it now. The time is now, because the future is not going to be looking very good either way. The banks are pulling out every dirty trick, everything that they used to do 80 years ago when the world went into a deflationary depression back then. And this country went through a real hard one, with millions of people actually starving to death. So, there's no doubt history is repeating itself, but not exactly the same way. But the end result will be just as bad, if not worse.
Right, and you bring up a good point when you say that it's going to happen anyway. There's nothing that can be done to stop it. There is There's no mathematical, no business model. There's nothing to stop it. And by the banks not crashing years ago and dealing with it, what they've done is they've now made, instead of having these banks and their depositors lose money, now they have pulled the entire world down in a black hole with them. So when the crash does happen, when they can't lie about it anymore and come up with smoke and mirrors, the crash will be so deep that it will pull the entire world into a destruction, a financial destruction.
Right. And remember in that previous program, I had mentioned also that these people that know that this is happening have already pulled their money and placed it off in nice, safe, secure offshore tax havens, not little places like Cyprus, but at the tune of $21 trillion, there's still going to be plenty of money left coming back in. They just simply are out of the stock market, out of these. The real rich people have already got their golden parachutes. They know the safe place to put their money. The poor guy that works really hard at his job in this country has only one recourse, and that is to pull his money out physically and hold it physically. That way, the last person to hold it is yourself. And to put it in a bank is like putting it into a casino and just walking away, hoping that it will be okay. Or throwing your money in the streets and walking away and hoping it will be there the next day. It isn't.
I like Max Kaiser's phrase he uses is casino gulag, is to describe our economic system now, because basically you have, I know from places I'm working now, I am it's paid slavery is what it comes down to. And the casino part, of course, is the investment. So it is more or less a casino gulag type of economy. When I mentioned about this crash being so big that it'll suck everything down, those people have put their money offshore in safe things, not necessarily absolutely safe. I mean, of course, they're in a position to have more, so therefore when the losses come in, they'll still be on top in the aftermath. It's like if you have a billionaire loses and he's a multimillionaire, if he's still the richest guy in the world, he's still the richest guy in the world, regardless of what his number is. Whether he's got $10, he's still the richest guy in the world. And so, but I think that they're trying to position themselves as best they can, which includes buying property, buying the things you need to live and having them in your hand, so that if the banks does erase even their earnings in some type of methods, because you're assuming that those kind of dishonest setups are honest amongst themselves, honor among thieves, you say. So again, the idea is still having it in hand. And I would go, if you really are not really sure about this dollar cash, I mean, if you do have a lot of gold, you might want to sell it now quietly to get some cash, because it is falling, and you want to hedge your bet, because if you're betting all on gold, if gold has a problem, you're failing. So even being conservative, one should have a nice wad of cash if you have the ability to do so. You also may even consider hedging a crash by actually owning food, your stored food, some method of retaining water, because in case that you do have problems, you can survive through the time it takes to get some infrastructure there, rather than depending on real time, taking your and if it is happening where the dollar bill does deflate, it becomes very a lot of purchasing power, and you do have the stored food, you can still buy stuff with your dollars. See, when they talk about hedging your bets, it's not like you put it all in one basket. So by having these things, you at least have a better chance to survive the unknown that's ahead. We know it's going to crash, and there's various ways of looking at how it crashes and what to do during it, but when it actually happens is when we'll find out the real absolute details.
Yes, and in the scenario that I'm painting, a dollar will be worth at least $10 in value at that time. Just multiply that 1,000 will be worth a $10,000 worth of purchasing power in a deflationary spiral. 100,000 will be worth $1,000,000. So it won't take that much. A poor guy can actually get ahead for a change rather than having to work. He'll make more money having his money out of the bank than if he went out and worked for it in a deflationary crash. So, and it's not like we're talking about something that's never happened before. This has already happened in the 1930s, but people didn't know how to get ready for it. At least very few knew how to get ready for it. But I believe that history is going to repeat itself again, and it's just not repeating itself exactly. It's just they're prolonging the day, they're kicking the can down the road. There's many ways to say it, but they are positioning themselves so they can survive it, but they don't care about the average person that has a bank account anymore. So that's why we're talking about the Cyprus situation, because this has been played out in history already, and Cyprus is that canary in the coal mine. It's time to look at the canary. It's dead, and anybody that goes inside these mine shafts called banks are going to die along with that canary. And my advice is get out of the coal mine.
And I think that when you hear things on radio shows, particularly listen to Alex Jones when I can, as I drive, though I find him that he repeats himself so much that I just get weary of hearing it. But a lot of the pointing toward the buildup of bullets, for example, the Homeland Security and the armor that's being passed out, is that they're going to cause a civil war and take over, somehow take over the Patriots or what have you. I disagree with that model. What I think they're getting ready for is a collapse of the financial system. And when the financial system collapses, you're going to have cities that have, 3 and 4 and 10 million people in them are going to try and eat. And they're not going to, their credit cards won't work. Their cash station won't work. The people are going to be working without getting paid because how do you get paid? I get paid through direct deposit. Well, I'm obviously not going to want to get paid through direct deposit when all it's going to do is go into a black hole at that point. And so, the company that I work for doesn't deal in cash. So how are they going to pay me? It's all electronic. No one pays their bills to the company in cash. So I don't think that the United States is gearing up for a civil war to take over the liberties from the... I think that the liberties being taken and the stockpile of weapons are simply to try and hold some measure of control, or if you want to be more positive in how I would phrase it, to try and keep the peace, we'll say, while the financial system collapsed. To me, that's a more logical way of looking at it. And the other aspects are, I'm not saying these people don't believe what they're saying as opposed to being charlatans, but I think it's a paradigm bias. You're seeing things through a paranoid set of eyes that are reading into it, and a lot of help could be by these people disseminating things that you're saying would do an actual better service to the populace to get them prepared. Now, of course, if you're a prepper and you have stocks of food and you have a place to go, of course you're going to be able to fare this. So there is a silver lining to that cloud. However, it could be a lot easier and a lot more people if people just simply started to save their cash, as you say. You can actually make money and survive better by simply having cash versus any other forms.
Yeah, and we're not in Cyprus or Argentina using their money. When you're in America, you have the world reserve currency. And it's not backed by gold or silver, but it is still backed by the military. And every country has to pay for their oil in dollars. I know some some oil countries are trying to get away from that, like Russia, Brazil, India. They're trying to start their own currency block. But when the price of oil comes crashing, these countries that depend on oil reserve money, they're going to crash that much harder, because that's how they make their living, is in selling oil. They'll run right back to the dollar really fast when they find out they can't get their own currency started. That's why I know.
I mean, Russia did that when they had their collapse. Their de facto currency of Russia was the American dollar.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that I'm promoting the Federal Reserve. I personally hate the Federal Reserve. I'd much rather use an honest gold and silver standard monetary system. But right now, that's manipulated so high in the price of dollars that when it crashes, that's the only time I would purchase gold and silver again, is when it comes way down. Because personally, I like that, you know, that type of money, you know, physically. And constitutionally, it is what was supposed to be used in every state. You know, that'll give you an idea just how far away this government has gone, is that there is, by law, no state is supposed to use anything but gold and silver as legal tender and payment of debt, according to Article 1. So these governors are in violation of their own oath of office by accepting Federal Reserve money. I know this gets a little bit off my point, but I'm saying this, so you cannot trust politicians to hold and support their oath of office anymore than you can trust a banker with your money now. You're living in a lawless government and a banking system that has already lost your money 10 times over, actually 100 times over, and you're just surviving on the liquidity fumes that the Federal Reserve has pumped into the world markets for the last 4 or 5 years. The smart thing to do in this bad case scenario is to pull your money out of the banks, get it under your own control, and as you keep your job, hold as much of that in cash as you can, because it will be worth 10, maybe 20 times more than it is right now in an over manipulated, highly leveraged society. So this is the way I look at it, and I really appreciate the opportunity to express my view on this program again.
Yeah, and all we're doing here is giving out the information. There's nothing attached to it. It's not like that you're telling this and then you're going to sell people something to help them through this. You're simply saying, here's what I'm seeing, here's what I've seen, and here's what I am doing. And as a fellow human being, I want to share what I'm doing and showing you. And then it's up to you what you want to do. You know, there's nobody bending an arm. There's no way you're not making any money on this. This is what you're doing, and you're sharing. It's like someone making a, recipe for some kind of cake and sharing the recipe. Only in this case, your recipe is for surviving a financial crash, which makes the cake very interesting to check out. You know.
Yeah, this is a very serious situation. I'm glad that we had the opportunity to do this program, because it's very timely. Back in October, when I started discussing this whole idea of bank holidays and withdrawal limits, it didn't really register in people's minds. Now, when it's starting on a small scale, this program might just help save some people in this country, because those in Cyprus, I can't help them now. You know, there's no way they could have listened to that program and got their money out.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, the trust had not been breached by the bankers. Now it has, and that's sort of a shot that's gone around the world now. And trust me, there's a lot of people pulling out their money, whether they listen to this program or not. I know that there's a lot of people pulling their money out of the banks as we speak.
Well, again, I thank you for, I mean, you could simply have done this and been quiet and not had to come out and, I guess the word would be, defend your position amongst some people who are really mostly attached to the gold scenario. But you have chosen the time and to say this, and I appreciate it because it will allow people to have information and options. And you know, that's all we can offer in any kind of media is information so people can have more information to choose with their options. And what you're saying to me is so, even if people aren't sold on it or they can't grip that, it's so foreign to them, if they simply kept some money out. I mean, if you have thousands in the bank, you can have some just for now. Take thousands home. You got $2,000 at home and you had $4,000 in the bank. When it all falls, you'll now have $2,000 at home that'll be worth $20,000 once the deflation hits. So is it really that big of a deal to start bringing some money home and stash it? It's not like you're committed to buying some kind of a weird thing. It's like people are talking about bitcoins now, but bitcoin is another form of emotional value. People believe in it, and therefore it's growing in value, and it's leaps and bounds. And so well over $60 a bitcoin when they first looked into it is about a penny. But talk about, if gold is going to be hard to exchange, talk about going out to Walmart with bitcoins. You know, so it's really, it's not that you say, it's not that the Federal Reserve dollar is any great thing. It's really a crime what they've done, but it is the legal tender. And in this transitional time, at least, it'll be and could very well be the matter of life or death.
Yeah, at least if I'm wrong, the person listening to me will lose nothing. if I'm right, they have a lot to gain. So let's hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, actually, you know, I've always said that I, when you talk about bad news, I don't mind being wrong, you know, because I don't want to go through the bad news to go, see, I told you so. You know, I'm on fire. I told you, you know. So, but again, I appreciate the time, and I will be talking with you, and we will be doing some shows on back on the Holy Virus, which I think is so important for people to read, especially people who are in the Christian faith or those who have problems with the Christian faith. It will open a lot of eyes. We'll be doing that. And if there is some more we can talk about, we can always do some updates on this financial topic as it happens in real time. So it's good talking to you, NYO, and we will speak again.
Oh, thank you.